Total.
Okay, so where are we holding?
Masechet Sanhedrin, Kaf Vav Amud Aleph, 26a. Reish Lakish was having a teal during Shmita year with Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon. He saw some people doing things that they apparently shouldn't be doing. Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon had a good explanation. Reish Lakish wasn't buying it. Looked like they were breaking Shmita. Reish Lakish came to Rabbi Yochanan and said to him like this. We are 2/3 of the way down the page. Atala Kamej Rabbi Yochanan. He came before Rabbi Yochanan. His chavruta, his Talmud chaver, Rabbi Yochanan. Amale, he said to him, B'nei Adam ha-chashudim al-ashviyit kisherim la'aber shana. Can it be, Rabbi Yochanan, that people who are suspect of breaking Shemitah are able to calculate the year? Rashi says over there, they were suspect of breaking Shemitah because they... Where's the Rashi? Neshatu kokonim. Hashot shviyit racha erno. Because they stood up for, the Rashi says three words, Shana'asu Sanigorin L'Rashayim, that they made themselves defenders of wicked people. They made themselves, Shana'asu, Sanigor. Sanigor is a defender of Rashayim, wicked people. Defend the wicked. I don't know. I can't tell you why they exactly did it. I can come up with reasons that appear to me, which may be completely wrong. Right? So I could say, Dan the Castle, judge people favorably. It's a very good meal, judge people favorably. Maybe that was more important to them. Right? Everyone has their own specific shita that they follow in life. For me, it's more important. Kindness is more important than restraint. Or, you know what, that's my life. My life view is, doesn't matter what the situation, I'm always going to judge favorably.
Interesting. That's not my life.
Oh, I see. I could say that. It would be very, it would be hard.
Like
harsh to say that against Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon, just to say that they didn't care. No, doesn't sound right to me.
My question is, if he's saying that his generation, Kal Vahomer, what about it, our generation?
Yeah, none of the same. Tov, anyway. So that's the question Reish Lakish has to Rabbi Yochanan, and he's asking for a happy reason. He's not coming. You know, if you want to read this Gemara the wrong way, you can learn lots of bad stuff, right? Clearly, Torah is Sam Chaim or Sam Mavet, right? If you look at the Torah through bad eyes, you come out with the most weird stuff. And so you can look like over here, Reish Lakish is saying Lashon Hara about two great Tanayim. Right? Not only is he arguing with them, he then comes and tells his rabbi, you know, what are these, how can these guys clearly not? Right? We have to have complete.
He was 100% sure. Because he was.
He wasn't 100% sure. He said, Balev. He said, Balev. The Lev knows.
But he
couldn't have been 100% sure. He didn't know. Go and ask the guy, find out the facts. He felt. He didn't. I mean, you couldn't know. How can you know? Can't know. He was just looking. He saw what he looked like. And to him, it looked like that. What actually was the case? Who knows? Maybe it was true. Maybe these two guys were completely 100% kosher. Doesn't really matter. for us to understand the viewpoints and to understand the learning and what's going on, it doesn't really matter whether they were kosher or not, but just to understand that you could take this view and you could take. Let's see what Rabbi Yochanan says about the whole thing. So he asks Rabbi Yochanan, he wants to know generally, can a person who is suspect in this fashion intercalculate the year? And I think this is also here now in this sugya, because we're talking about people who are considered kosher to be judges or witnesses. Right, we said those who have been gambling or been doing things which are they're not forbidden, but they have a bad taste. Right, they raise doubts about the integrity of the person. So, in a similar fashion, we now raise doubts about the integrity of these two individuals who are intercalculating the year from the whole of Am Yisrael to add another month into the year. Right, are they? Maybe that's not correct. I've learned the sugyas about what makes a valid judge. And you can be disqualified from the judge if you raise pigeons, because maybe you're going to cheat, you're going to whatever. So now, I can maybe say the same argument about, you know, these two individuals there who are acting as defenders for wicked people, in his opinion anyway. And maybe they're not valid to be judges. Right? So it's a halakhic question. He's not coming to tell tales on Aspishim. Hadar Amar. He then said, Lo Kashali. I don't know who the he is. No, must be... No, so apparently this is all Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is still talking. Reish Lakish is Hadar. Hadar usually means he changed his mind. He came back and he said, on the question, not that they weren't kosher, but that it's okay for them to actually be judges. Why? Hadar Ramah, Lok Ashali, you're right. I question whether they could be valid judges because of their suspect integrity. But Lok Ashali, why not? Because they're similar to the three cattle herders. Right, which... what he says is that we're referring to the Gemara above, where the rabbis made a decision to add a new month because they took into consideration the cattle herders who were saying that the season change had it, I can't remember the exact thing, the season wasn't in its normal place. It was too warm, it was too hot. It's an 18-day fine agent. We said there was a list of reasons why the rabbis may add in another month, because of the rains, the roads, to fix the seasons, whatever. One of those reasons came about, or we saw in that sugya anyway, that the rabbis overheard three cattle herders talking about the fact that the season was late or something. What was going on? Yes. There were these three herdsmen who were standing and talking. The rabbis overheard what they were saying. One said, if the ground is so warm that the early crop and the late crop sprout at the same time, then it's Adar, but if it's not, then it's not Adar. Another said, an ox almost died from the cold. And in the afternoon, the heat is so great that it rubs itself against a fig tree. Then it's Adar. But if it's not, then it's not Adar. If the east wind is especially strong, blah, 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 if you could blow out your cheeks, then it's not Adar. Upon hearing this, the rabbis extended the year. The rabbis took the factual, on the ground, expert evidence from three cattle herders, right? Because for sure, cattle herders are not by any means capable of calculating the year or knowing when it should be. However, they are capable of being expert witnesses in their field. In their field, they know oxes, ploughing, right? They know they're perfectly valid to testify, to witness, to take evidence from them. So the rabbis heard their evidence, so to speak, and decided on the basis of their evidence to change the year. So Reish Lakish is now saying, you know what? You're right. We cattle herders aren't allowed to calculate the year either. So if we know from that subject, Reish Lakish knew the Gemara backwards, so he knows that subject. He knows that over there it was perfectly acceptable to listen to three cattle herders. So you know what? Maybe it's okay to listen to these two guys as well, who are also suspect. Right? I put them on a level of cattle herders, like they're at least, right? So maybe my original assumption, what are these guys doing?
What is
cattle herders? Ro'ei Bakar. Right? That they are not... My original assumption that these two guys are not good people to be calculating the year is not a valid kasha, not a valid problem. Okay, the Rabbanan achush benayhu samuch. But then he said, but the Rabbanan. Right, and the Rabbanan were the ones who calculated the year. So it wasn't the cattle herders. So here he assumed that maybe we can say it's the same thing. But then Hadav Ramah, he changed his mind again, or he came back again and he said something different. Lo Tameh, wait a minute, it's not the same, why not? Hatam over there, in the case of the cattle herders, Hador imnu rabanan the ibua laishata. Over there, hatam hador imnu rabanan the ibua laishata. Over there, it was the rabbis who subsequently voted and intercalculated the year. Hacha keshir reshayimhu. Here is different. What he's saying, he changes his mind. Reish Lakish answers his own question and then says, "No, it's not a good answer." He says, "You know what? I was worried about these two rabbis, but wait a minute." He says to himself, answering his own question, "Maybe they are okay because they're just like three cattle herders, and we saw in a previous sugya that you do take evidence from three cattle herders, and you can change the year on the basis of the evidence of three cattle herders." So they've got to be at least as good as them. And he just says, no, it's different. There it's different, right? We need to make a chiluk in all of our learning. We're comparing situations and finding what's the same or what's different. And here we make a chiluk, make a difference. Over there it's different. There we just took evidence from them, right? They weren't the ones calculating the year. And it's perfectly fine to take evidence from people who may be suspect in other areas, right? This Ro'ei Bakar, I wouldn't trust him with to go and buy my shopping. But I trust him to know when the oxes die in the morning and the crops don't grow. That's his expertise. For him, I can blame him 100% on what he tells me. But here, we're talking about the rabbis who are actually doing the intercalculation. And they need to be pure and clean and above reproach, because they're doing the intercalculation. They need to weigh up the facts, they need to take everything else into account, and they, whatever else it is that they're doing. So Reish Lakish says, no, it's not the same. Haha kesher reshayimhu. And now he gets a little bit stronger, and he says, here it's a kesher reshayim. What's a kesher reshayim? Literally means a connection of wicked people. Or in the words of the art scroll, confederacy of wicked men. Kesher means a kesher. Kesher is a connection. Right, just, so here it means a...
So a group or a
neged? Yeah, like accomplices, like people who are joined together. They're connected in their... which is a very strong thing to him to say, obviously. As far as we know, we don't know what we're talking about, but it seems to be a very strong thing to say.
Kesher is also a plot.
Kesher is a plot?
גם בפרשה, פרשת נוח, וגם עשו קשר נגד המלך. זה קשר נגד המלך. נגד המלך.
Okay, so here we see. There we go. The, yet again, Hashem's help. We see that there are sugyas in this week's parasha. Keshir Rishayim. Keshir Rishayim. The Tower of Babel. That was the Keshir Rishayim. Right? That's wicked people gathering together to do wicked things. Yofi. So, the Keshir Rishayim, Eino Min Haminyan. And wicked people can't be counted in the quorum. Right? They're not allowed to be counted in the quorum. They're not allowed to take part, even if there were other judges. It wasn't just those two. We know there had to be... how many in to calculate the year?
10.
No, come on. How many in to calculate the year?
Okay. Learn that. 3, 5, 7.
Yes, Yofi, very good. 3 start, 5 then, what's the
5?
5 discuss, 7 decide. Mashkaze? Something like that?
And then 7 decide and then
12.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll have to do some hazarat on that. But we know that it's not just those two, right? Even if, for example, it's not even 3. It's not 2 plus 1 and they're the majority and that's a problem. They are simply 2 and they're in the minority. It's not them making the decision. But even in that case, we see that they can't form part of the quorum. Einor min haminyan, says Reish Lakish, so they shouldn't even be allowed to take part in the discussions. I'm not worried about the fact that they happen to be the ones deciding, because they're probably not. They're in the minority. But they shouldn't even form part of the quorum. Einor min haminyan. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan then says, Da Aka. What does that mean? It means, apparently it means, I don't know the words. It means this is distressful. This is upsetting.
Da'aka is Dalad Ayn.
No, Dalad Aleph. Da.
Okay.
I can't translate any of this. Aka, Ayn Kuf Aleph.
Okay.
Aka.
Aka is probably coming, I think it's coming from the word Mu'aka.
Mu'aka.
I think.
Meaning?
Mu'aka is. When somebody has like a on the heart, cut lid. Like, I don't remember Mu'aka. Mu'aka, it's when somebody, you see somebody and the, what happened with you? I have pain, I have sores, I need Mu'aka. Stress, agony.
Okay. So
something meik is so something that bothers you all the time. What meik alai, the death is very.
So that would seem to be the context of what he's saying here. Yeah. Right? He's very worried. He's very upset about that. To hear that.
You right? Turned on the news.
Yeah. Rabbi Yochanan is very upset. Why? That he hears, at least according to see Rashi. Rashi says. Where are we? So I'm just trying to catch up with you. Shavuot Kibbutzim. Keshu Rishayim Hu Da'aka She Atakore Otam Rishayim. That you call them wicked people, right? So he gets very upset that you call them wicked people. But it's okay. He wasn't upset at him at the beginning. It's not upset to ask the question. It's a valid question to ask. You're allowed to ask a question. Is this correct that people who are suspect of defending people who are wicked? Apparently, at least according to his opinion, that's a valid possibility. Is it are they allowed to be on the judge in the Beit Din which decides the year? It's a good question. You're allowed to ask that. Wasn't bothered about that. When Reish Lakish at the end decides, you know what? I've solved the problem myself, and they're wicked people. So at this point, I'll be up and like, wait a minute. upsetting. And Julie doesn't rebuke him.
He was upsetting.
Just means it's just upset. Da'aka. He's upset about what Reish Lakish said. Apparently. That he called, well, Rashi says that he called the wicked people.
But
Reish Lakish is not afraid, Rabbi Yochanan is not afraid of rebuking Reish Lakish. You see elsewhere, if Reish Lakish is so
inferior. But he now, Reish Lakish was his study partner.
Uh-huh.
He now how he is.
Yeah, he knows
he was true.
Yeah, am I right? Yeah. That's why, he's upset rather than angry. And like, if someone says something bad or something. Right, so you get the emotion is anger, but to be upset is a different emotion. Upset means I know you're right. Maybe it means I know you're right, and it pains me, it hurts me. What can I say?
Inside he starts to question something. He's not 100% sure of something, and this is what makes him upset.
Who?
This the feeling of being upset. This is what triggers it. You're not agreeing with other people, and you just start to question. This is the feeling you will receive.
I don't know if he's...
When you question, you're not happy. You're upset. You know, and this leads later to anger and different levels.
Don't know. I think there's a lot of things going on. When a person has questions, there's a lot of things going on. It's not just there's many, many different emotions. One of them could be upset. But I don't know if to link the two together as being. Here, Rabbi Yochanan is not questioning.
No question.
No. Rabbi Yochanan is very. He's upset at the fact of what he sees. He's disappeared. It hurts him that he sees.
Sees the
fact that. These are very deep things for us to actually. Try and suggest that we can know what was going on in the minds of Tov. It's good for us to think about it, but not to know that we don't know. That we really don't know.
Students, you trust him so much. You say go, and then your study partner, where you know 100%. You know. He's upset because he said.
Yeah, but if he thought he was wrong, he would have told him. Right, Rabbi Yochanan is going to tell him you're wrong.
No, he was right, Reish Lakish.
Right.
He was upset about the two guys.
Okay, so maybe you could say that. Don't know. I mean, we don't know. But these are all possibilities that could be. Could be. Okay. That's not the end of the story. Ki atu lekamei de Rabbi Yochanan amule. When they came before Rabbi Yochanan, they said to him, who's they? Rav Shimon and Rav Chia, the two culprits. Of the situation, the two ones that we're talking about, Medubarim, right? When they came before Rabbi Yochanan,
culprits,
Hashudim, the one who did the bad guys,
not even suspected,
one who were the wrong guys, right?
Culprits,
C-U-L-P-R-I-T. Top. Anyway, when they came before Rabbi Yochanan, they said to him, "Kareilan roei bakar v'la male mar v'la midei." He called us roei bakar. He called us cattle herders, and you said nothing. Right? They didn't ask. Apparently, they heard the story. Right? So they didn't ask. Why he didn't get upset when they called him? He called him wicked people, which is even worse, frankly, than a cattle herder. So wicked, right? But Rabbi Yochanan did get upset. But they wanted to know from Rabbi Yochanan. They didn't have a problem with that, right? It's probably fair enough, right? Interesting, they didn't have a problem with that. What they did have a problem is they wanted to know why Rabbi Yochanan didn't get upset. Not because these people had no ego. It's not like, hey. Why did you not let stand up for me? They're not. These are all halachic questions. These are all like questions that are not in our. We're not in our level. We're not like talking about you and me. I can't believe he said that to me. And how can you stand up for me? And why didn't you tell him? And
but he did reprimand Reish Lakish for calling him wicked. At least according to the witness.
He got upset. He clearly showed his distress that he wasn't happy about it.
Right.
But he didn't say anything at the beginning when. when Rish Lakish compared them to cattle herders. So that's the question they have. Anyway, so I have that again. So they, from a very clear question, why didn't you get, why, he said the cattle herders at that point, you should have sent something, no. You know, why not? They want to understand what was going on, why not?
Question is, what can we learn from this?
Will you tell me? What are you learning from
it? Well, that's why I'm asking the question. I mean, nowadays, with our generation falling almost to the bottom of the pit.
Yeah.
Compared with their generation.
Yeah.
Can we even open our mouths?
No. But we have to, because we have no choice. So you're 100% right. We cannot open our mouths to speak, but we have no choice. Right? This is the level Hashem gave us. This is what he put us into. And we have no right to even think of questioning holy rabbis and what they were doing, and to understand an inch and a millimeter of what was actually going on in reality. However, nonetheless, that's exactly what we have to do, because that's, we have no choice. That's where we are. So yes, 100%. Anyway, so they wanted to know why Rabbi Yochanan didn't say anything when they were compared to cattle herders. So Rabbi Yochanan, cryptically, I suppose, but not if you're at their level, they knew exactly what he meant, says back to them, Amalahu, Ikare lechu ro'ei son, maya minale. If they would have called you sheep herders, not cattle herders, what could I have said to them then? Happy? No. What does that mean? Why didn't you stop them when they likened us to cattle herders? Answer? If they would have likened you to sheep herders, what would I have said to them?
But what a big difference.
End of sukkah. What's his answer?
What a big difference if the cattle herders or sheep herders?
Your feet, so that's a question. So what's Rabbi Yochanan saying?
Well, it goes back to our previous
section. Why didn't you tell
me,
why didn't you say anything when they likened me to a cattle herder? Well, they like apples. Okay, it's a nice response. What does it mean?
Well, it goes back to our previous section where it listed that someone who raises cattle inside a pen can be a judge or a witness, but a sheep herder cannot, because they normally graze on other people's lands.
Very good.
So you're lucky with your cattle herders, not sheep herders.
Yeah. So that's the first half. Right, that's the first half.
But there has to be
more. The first half of the solution is that exactly that. You're lucky it was only cattle herders. Even if he called you sheep herders, I wouldn't know what to say. Cattle herders, Tom, I was quiet. Sheep herders, right?
But there has to be more than this.
But what's he saying? Why couldn't he have answered? If he would have called you sheep herders, or he would have called you dung carriers, he would have called you something really bad. Would have called you lefties.
Dice players,
right? He would have called you whatever. Maccabi Tel Aviv fans. Whatever he's going to call you, why couldn't he have responded? Why did Rabbi Yochanan say, even if he would have called you the worst thing in the world, I couldn't have responded to it. Why not? No? Why couldn't you have responded?
No, there has to be something more than this. I mean, they wouldn't put this in the Gemara for just...
Because Reish Lakish was right. Because Reish Lakish was right. Because Rabbi Yochanan agreed with him. He agreed. If you don't agree, you're going to respond. If you don't agree, you respond. That's what your job is. Right? You don't agree, you think it's wrong, you have to say it's wrong. And if you think it's right, so... Question is why? Wow!
That's why he was upset.
That's why we're why he was upset.
He was talking. He was upset about Reish Lakish or about the two guys. Because now Reish Lakish.
There's Russian
around. Right, you could understand that he was upset. that Reish Lakish was correct, that these people weren't part of the weren't valid to be in the minyan, in the quorum, to calculate the year, and yet they were, and they went ahead, and they intercalculated the year as part of the quorum, and Rabbi Yochanan is very distressed. Shouldn't have happened.
Let's say you have two students, you trust him too much, you send him out, and then you listen to his after to.
But having said that, we have to. It's still harsh that these great men are likened to cattle herders or sheep herders, and we can't defend them. That's harsh. The Maharsha, look, again, we're only looking at our level, and we should know that we know nothing. So don't. We shouldn't get excited about the fact that great Tanayim are like cattle herders, and therefore I'm a tzaddik, because right, it's just not even comparable, right?
You're just opposite.
Right, it's just not. So the Maharsha says here that Rabbi Yochanan's response was the result of the fact that it's not uncommon for scholars in the heat of a debate to call their opponents cattle herders or something even more demeaning, like sheep herders. Therefore, he did not respond to his words, and therefore you ought not to be offended, the other two, by them. Don't be offended. I wouldn't have replied to him. We're having a talk, we're having a discussion. Relax. He calls you cattle herders. He's talking an example, right? They're no better than cattle herders. I'm using the cattle herders example in order to understand the relationship between who you can take evidence from and who you can't. And just like the case of the cattle herders, we could. So you're like cattle herders, they're better, fine. Relax. I don't need to answer him and stop, wait a minute, hold that argument. They're not cattle herders, you know. He's bringing a halakhic argument. He's not bringing a demeaning response that he really thinks are like cattle herders. He's trying to bring a comparison of understanding.
Isn't that so? The cattle herds, when they're inside, they're kosher. When they're outside, whatever. What's also like?
When they're growing the cattle, they're kosher. But they're when kosher. They're grazing it, they're not.
Yeah, so now he's sending them out.
Now,
when they in the study halls, they're kosher. But when they send them out, in this piece, what's the same?
My concern.
He's still kosher to study. Now he's sending them out. The
grazing.
Grazing.
Yeah, fair. It's very nice. I like it. It's nice.
My concern is the example of Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 students that passed away because they weren't giving them each other proper kavod.
Right, you're right. Although we see a lot in the Gemara these types of arguments, which look to our eyes very hard. I would never do that. I would never call someone that. And I start to compare myself and think I'm great because I would never call someone a donkey. Right, but in the Gemara they do, and that's why the Maharsha says that that's just like the way that they. One way of understanding, I don't know, it doesn't really sit so well for me, but one way of understanding is that just there were the expressions. Yeah, but they wouldn't curse anyway.
I'm saying they didn't have. They didn't curse.
I mean, it's not like calling someone a Knesset member.
Right, we don't want to go too low.
Or worse.
Anyway,
does Rashi or anyone else say anything to
stop to think
add
about this? I just want to read the Rashi on Keshe Rishayim. Ve'ech anan somchem ala minyan zeh lasot k'divrihem afilu ihen osin ibo k'din o k'dat en ashana meveret hayadehem k'divainan beidin nimnin zeh v'zeh inu minyan. Okay. So to understand it a little bit more, we can say like this. The Keshe Rishayim that Reish Lakish is talking about, it doesn't really mean that these are wicked people. He's using it's a phrase to mean that we're going to see later now in the sugya, the Gemara is going to say, where does this phrase Kesher Rishayim come from? And it comes from a story about where you don't count people in a minyan if they're not valid to be in a minyan. And because we know that from that example, in that example it was called Kesher Rishayim. So Reish Lakish is bringing the Kesher Rishayim phrase and putting it into this situation. It doesn't dafka mean that Rishayim, Chas v'Shalom. These are holy Tanayim. Right? They're huge. Right? But they're not. They have been disqualified from being in a minyan. And what do I... What if I'm looking at examples of people who are disqualified from being in a minyan, and I go back to my example of Kesher Rishayim. Laminyan of... it depends what we mean for minyan. Minyan being a judgment. A minyan being a quorum. Not being a minyan of 10 for davening. A minyan being whatever minyan you're talking about. Here it's a minyan of a beit din. The amount of people you meet.
Not permitted to be dayanim.
To be count, yeah, to be counted in the number.
In some,
if you have a minyan,
in some forum,
if you need 9, you need 7, you need 3, they can't form that part of that number. So the Kesher Rishayim that he's referring to was going back to the example that we're going to see later where this comes from, which was a Kesher Rishayim. Dafka, they were Rishayim, and because they were Rishayim, they weren't allowed to be counted in the minyan. So Reish Lakish is saying, wait a minute, this is an example of Kesher Rishayim. Not that they are Rishayim, it's an example of Kesher Rishayim. It's an example the people who are not permitted, they're pasul from being in this minyan.
The fact,
not because they're Rishayim, but because they're pasul.
The people that they prevent from the Dayanim to be in this concilium, this is the Kesher Rishayim, not the Dayanim that they're not allowed to come into this concilium. Who is the who considers like Kesher Rishayim?
I think when we see the story, we'll see over there who it was talking about, and it was talking about over there the bad guys. The bad guys were Kesher Rishayim, and therefore they didn't count.
The people that prevent from the other to come to the that.
The two bad guys, the two ones that we don't count. We've got three good, and two bad guys. These two are Kesher Rishayim, and therefore they can't join together. These two. These are called the Kesher Rishayim.
That too, that they're not permitted to come into the continuum.
Nahon. So what happened when they did come and they calculated the year, Reish Lakish said, that's a Kesher Rishayim. They're not allowed to be in the minyan. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan would talk. It depends how I understand it, but...
But that's for sure. It's about that two guys that the other prevent from them, they're the Kesher Rishayim, not the guys that decide not to let them.
No one decided not to let them. They were allowed in. They allowed them in. They didn't know the rest of the Beit Din who said, yeah, come, we're going to calculate it, sit with us, let's degree. They didn't know that they were passing. Okay. So now... That's 5 minutes. We'll look at it a little bit. We'll get a little bit way into the story anyway. The Gemara wants to know the question. My Kesher Rishayim. What is this Kesher Rishayim? So this is where we learn what the Kesher Rishayim is. The footnote tells me that before explaining the Gemara, that you need to have some background information. We already know. But just to refresh, one of the kings, Bam Yisrael, was Hizkiyahu. We know that one of the major events of Hizkiyahu's reign was that Sanherib came from Assyria, as it was called then, to conquer Jerusalem. Made a siege around Jerusalem. And at the end, Baruch Hashem, it was, we know the story, that Hashem did a miracle for Hizkiyahu. And the plague came and they all ran off, or he killed them.
I think that he was the king that didn't want to have children because he saw.
Now, yeah, no, no, it's about him. Also his kid.
Because he saw that Menashe will come.
Will come from him. But this, at this point, he had a lot of difficulties. But that was one of them. But this difficulty that he was facing.
Didn't have to. sing because it's story. I don't know when he came, he showed all his treasure.
Yeah.
And Hashem said after, he said, they will come and take all your treasure.
So Hizkiyahu, a lot of stuff happened. Hizkiyahu was huge. Hizkiyahu, the Gemara says, could have been Mashiach. He was fit to be Mashiach. And why wasn't he given the crown, so to speak? Why wasn't he Mashiach? Because he didn't sing Shira. He didn't sing Shira after the defeat of Sanherib. He didn't praise God.
And he was Melech Yehuda. Huh?
But he was huge. Could have been Mashiach.
He was Melech Yehuda, Melech Israel.
Tov. Anyway, so he was Sanherib came along to siege the city, right? But before he was successful, and Hashem did a miracle and killed all of the Assyrian army, right? Before that happened, he was being sieged. He didn't know what was going to happen, right? So we join the story at that point. What happened? Shevna. Hamadarish Batlesa Ravata. Shevna, who's the name of the person, she's called Shevna, who I'm told here was the supervisor of the king's palace. He was basically, he was a high up official, the head official, in the head of the civil service, right? The head of the palace, right? Not royalty, but he was the head of. Anyway, called Shevna, right? Havadaresh Batlesa Ravata. He used to lecture to 130,000. He had 130,000 followers. Right? Hizkiah, the king, Havadaresh Bachatsa Ravata. Hizkiah used to lecture to 110,000. He had 110,000 followers. Meaning that in the latest poll, we see that the king was popularity rating was less than that of the head of the palace, so the Shevna. So, right? They also had those issues then, not only now. Been going on the same long time. Changed the wallpaper, same problem. Anyway, Kiata Sanherib, when Sanherib came, but Sar Aleh Jerusalem. And made a siege around Jerusalem. Katav Shevna Pitkas Shada Begira. Shevna wrote a note for Shada Begira and shot it with an arrow. Right? Over the walls to Sanherib. Shevna Vasiata Hishlimu Hizkiyahu Vasiato Loishlimu. Saying basically that Shevna and his party want peace, but Hizkiyahu and his party don't. Right? And Shevna thought, you know what? I'll make peace with the guy and he'll make me king. Nice move. Hmm. Right? And I'll side with the enemy. It's a common thing, right? And he's in the majority even, right? But I'm telling Sanherib, we're going to see what happens. Shinema, how do we know that? We know that from Tehillim, because it's written in Tehillim. Ki hine harishayim yid ruchun keshet konanu chitzam ayeter. So behold, the wicked bend their bow and they ready their arrow on the string. Right? And King David was talking about this incident.
What is that? Yeah.
Al yeter on the string, apparently. On the
yeter string?
Apparently. What is this? It's the Peirush. So that's what that was talking about. So what happens in the story? Habakkuk mistapei Hizkiyahu. Hizkiyahu was mistapei, fearful. Why? Amar Dilma chas v'shalom, maybe chas v'shalom. Natya da'atei dekut shabrichu b'tahu ba. Maybe chas v'shalom. It's the case that Hashem follows the side of the majority. We know that our halachic thought that we go with the majority, even if it's not correct, right? With the famous story of the oven, and the river flows backwards, and the tree uproots itself, and the black hole comes out from Shemayim and says, "No, Rabbi Yochanan. No, I can't remember who. Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar is right. Right? And even the back call says he's right. And the rabbis say, you're right, but we don't take evidence from a river that flows backwards or a tree that uproots itself or a back call, right? And the majority view prevails. And then the Gemara says, what was Hashem doing at that time? And he's saying, my children have defeated me, right? That there's a rule that we follow the majority. Even though Rabbi Elazar was right, technically speaking, we still go by the majority. So we still have to follow the majority.
Sometimes majority is not true.
Doesn't matter. We still follow the majority.
Whether they're kosher or not kosher.
Because that's the way Hashem created the world. Hashem said, I'm fixing the world such that Rabbanan have a duty to create the law, this thing, right? Based on their understanding of what I want. And you know what? The answer is you have to follow the majority, even if they're not right. Even if the backhoe comes out of Shemai saying, you're all wrong and he's right.
Yeah.
The halacha doesn't follow him. The halacha follows the majority. Hashem says,
okay,
100%.
The moment when they must turn back to him.
No, never. Never.
No,
they don't. The majority rule prevails. That is the rule.
The truth prevails.
No, absolutely not. This is true and that's true. They're all true. This is true and that's true. There's not only one truth.
There's one truth.
Shivim panim l'Torah. There is one halacha that we follow. There's one halacha that we follow. It doesn't mean we have Rabbi, the school of Hillel and the school of Shammai. And they argued on lots of things. They're both 100% correct. We only follow Rabbi Hillel. Apart from two, right? He's the one we follow. Rabbi Shammai, 100% correct. But just we don't follow him. They're true. They're all true. And in times of need, you can follow them, right? You can follow. You can rely on minority opinions in a Shat Dachak, in a time when you really need to. But for Lahalacha, we follow the majority. Hashem says, this is the way I created the world. This is the way I want you to live. Even if you think, we know that, for example, we see how much so? We see a rabbi in the Gemara that argued with the rabbis on the date of intercalculating the year, on the month, and understood that Yom Kippur was on a different day. And the rabbis told him to come with your purse and your staff on the day that you think is Yom Kippur and come to me. I want you to, and he did. Even though he was 100% sure that he was right, and this is really Yom Kippur, and we learned yesterday in Makot that you get carrots for that. He gave up his own understanding that he was about to get carrot because this is really Yom Kippur, not what you say, but I'm going to go with the majority because that's Hashem's will. That's how far. Not that they have to bend to me. I have to bend to them.
Every gathering, I said the presence of Hashem inside. If you have a gathering, I mean, it's not for me. I'm not comfortable with the idea that a gathering can decide something without consulting God first.
What does it mean to consult?
I mean to pray, to have this spiritual guidance, the same way the rabbi
but
had.
But that's not here. That's not even a question. No one said whether or not they consulted God. It's not like they did.
It's about the life of a man. If you decide, if you're a judge, and decide about the life of a man, if it's good or bad, if it's breaking the law or not, if it's going to be punished, slashed or killed or whatever.
Okay.
You have to consult these matters, these very, very high matters. You have to consult God. So that
you have to what?
You have to consult God.
I'm going to stop you there because I don't know what that means.
To pray to him, to search for his advice, to search for his presence.
A Jew needs to do that every day.
Yeah, this is the point.
There's nothing special about a Beit Din that they would have to have that as a criteria for their decision. Because if they don't have that connection with God, then they're not
inside.
It's not a question of did they have that or they didn't. They assumed.
Yes, but when you assume something is not happening, you put questions.
Yeah, but it's not relevant for.